Let's head over to Austin State Senator Charles Schwertner joins us. Good morning, Senator. How are you?
Good morning, Scott. Doing great.
Let's talk about yesterday. This was, even before the session started, one of the most important things you had said is that we need to make sure that tuition just doesn't go any farther up than it has, and it's presenting a hardship on middle-class Texans for sure. Yesterday, that basically got a hearing. I'd like to get your thoughts there.
Yes, I was proud to be able to lay out that bill, the Higher Education Accountability Restoration Act, that addresses some of the dramatic cost growth we see in higher education. You know, tuition and fees have grown 104% over the last 10 years. The portion set by our boards of regents across the state has increased 222%. And it really is pushing out middle-class families and preventing access to affordable higher education for really a good percentage of the families and children and students that want to attend higher education.
Now, while there was no actual testimony against this yesterday, there are certainly people within the education industry who say, well, you know, the legislature keeps tightening the grip on the money that you were giving us in the past, so how are we expected to have the dollars we need to operate these institutions? What do you say to that?
Well, the amount of state appropriations has been fairly consistent over the last 10 years. It hasn't gone down a lot, but it hasn't kept up with inflation overall. So that is truthful. But the portion that's been the portion of tuition and fees that's been from the boards of regents and at the university level has increased really dramatically. So there needs to be a balance between the amount of revenue generated and the access to affordable higher education. It's important that we have quality education and quality research, but it's also very important that we allow or have the ability for children to attend college. And so there needs to be at least an awareness and a diligence and attempt to keep costs under control.
Now, meanwhile, having to do with tuition, and this is going on over in the House, but I want to get your thoughts on it because tuition is important to you. It's the Hazelwood Act. It's been around for 80 years, and it's
right.
Helped veterans when they needed it to get their tuition taken care of. But they do have the ability, if they, through federal aid or some other reason, have enough money for their tuition, to pass that down to the next generation. And it is, quite honestly, costing a lot of money. I think the number I saw at A&M is it's $18 million that we're looking at. So there's significant cost involved in the Hazelwood Act. So should it continue as it is now, or how do you, as one member of the body, feel it should be adjusted?
Well, Hazelwood was expanded, and that portion that can be passed down to your students is called the Hazelwood Legacy portion. And it's a very well-intentioned program that certainly benefits our veterans and their families. But it is an unfunded mandate to our higher education institutions and does need to be looked at and addressed, because what happens is that whatever is you know, the tuition that's set aside for payment of those children and students that are under the Hazelwood is passed on to the other students at those institutions. So there needs to be a balance, and I think we need to look again at the parameters of the various aspects of Hazelwood and probably make some adjustments.
And again, I was reading an article about it, and there are more federal opportunities or avenues for funding now, so Hazelwood doesn't necessarily have
for
to
the
be
veterans,
the other thing.
But
right.
The biggest cost driver is the legacy portion.
Afterwards.
The children of those veterans.
Because it gets passed on to people
right.
who may not be veterans at that time.
That's correct.
While we're talking schools, there's a thing called the parent trigger. If your kiddo is in a school district is not performing well over 5 years, then you know you've got a chance to do something about that. There's legislation out there now to shorten that down to 3 years.
Right.
What are your thoughts on the parent
trigger?
Well,
that passed the Senate floor yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's and I voted for it.
Okay.
I think that's an important step to make sure that every child in public education in the state of Texas has an opportunity to succeed. And certainly their chance of success is far less if they have to attend a school that has been shown to repeatedly be failing at their mission.
Senate passed their budget in just a couple of hours. You know, a couple of weeks ago we talked to John Rainey, I think, after he had gone till 4 in the morning. And, of course, you've been on the House side when that's going on. Kind of characterize for us how it's different, how the Senate is able to move through more quickly than the House when it comes to their budgets.
Well, we did pass our budget this week, 30-1, and yeah, it's a fiscally responsible budget. It only increases appropriations about 4.6%, and and prioritizes our funding and enhances board security and tax cuts. So I'm very proud of the budget. I was very involved being on Finance Committee. But we do work a little bit different. You know, it's easier to deal with 31 than 150.
Mm-hmm.
So we tend to do a lot of things in committee, and so it's just a different way of handling the budget. And luckily, we only spent about 2 to 3 hours on the floor yesterday, or 2 days ago.
Dr. Charles Werner joining us this morning as we talk about things going on in the Senate, now in your State Affairs Committee as well. Once again, ethics reform has risen up. I know there are a couple of bills out there, Senate Bill 585 and 586. Tell me basically what your thoughts are as far as being able to get some sort of ethics legislation passed that the public can at least be comfortable with.
I think we will this time. It's an emergency item of Governor Abbott. I think it's very important that that elected officials, the trust that is placed in us by the citizens, that we're held to a very high ethical standard. And, you know, the bills that are being put forth have ideas about how to improve transparency and ethics in public office. So we'll be voting on one of those today out of State Affairs.
Yesterday, you tentatively approved a measure that we've talked about in past weeks, and that is to at least in some ways consolidate part of this this large, massive health system that we have in Texas.
Right. That passed the Senate floor yesterday, 31-0. It was unanimous. And the strategy here is to take a graduated approach to reorganization and consolidation by keeping the Department of Family and Protective Services, as well as Department of State Health Services, separate, but consolidating and reorganizing the Department of Assistive and Rehabilitative Services, Department of Aging and Disability Services, into HHSC. I think that allows for some efficiencies and coordination and discussion between the various agencies, but at the same time keeps the agency that's responsible for the protection of our children through CPS separate, as well as the department that is responsible for our public health measures separate. I think it makes sense from just an organizational standpoint, and finally, we came through with a conclusion to it, and one I actually fully agree with.
Finally, yesterday was tax day, obviously. The governor took an opportunity to discuss that again, but in many ways, it seems like the governor has stepped back a little bit on letting you guys and gals kind of fight it out a little bit. I mean, he has suggested that a sales tax cut would be good, but obviously early on he was saying he was a strong proponent of your idea, and that was making sure that there was a break for businesses and property taxes as well.
Mm-hmm. That's still a hot topic of discussion down here, and it's great that we're talking about it, that we have the economy and the vibrant economic picture to allow for discussion even of tax cuts. And we need to do so. That continues to incentivize our job creators. For me, I think that's providing a tax cut to those that actually provide the most amount of jobs, which is our small businesses. 2 out of 3 new jobs in the state of Texas are made by a small business entrepreneur. So I think if you're going to do a targeted tax cut, you should actually put it toward those that are going to continue to cycle through the economy. You know, the second issue is property taxes, and you know, the people of Texas understand when they see their bills just how much we pay in property taxes. And I think they spoke loudly last year during the campaign regarding the need for something to be done about property taxes. I'm not as sold about sales tax, but again, that's the proposal of the House, and I fully expect us to have some sort of resolution by the end of session.
But certainly, you're not the only senator, but a good portion of your senatorial district is growing almost explosively. And when that's the case, these governments do need to have funding on the county and city levels that the property taxes do allow them to have. What kind of pushback or at least feedback have you gotten from your county commissioners and your mayors within your district about this?
Well, the property tax relief would be done by raising the property tax exemption. That mm-hmm. wouldn't affect the county or municipal tax collection on an ad valorem basis.
So just wanted to make sure that those people were getting their seat there at the table as well. But we'd all like to see our taxes go down. We know that. And there's nothing new to that. What's going to happen between now and when we talk again next week?
Well, we'll probably be over the next I think Monday or Tuesday, be naming conference committees for the finance, for the budget, and we'll continue to work on various bills. the Health and Human Services is starting to receive bills over from the House side regarding various pieces of legislation that's been passed in the House. So this is the time in which bills are kind of transacting and going between the House and the Senate and the Senate and the House, and we're trying to come to some sort of conclusion about the various proposals. So, it's very busy, and, I think and fully expect us to be done by early June.
Well, oh, so you're going to predict no special session?
I am.
Oh, okay.
I'll give you that prediction today.
All right, that sounds good. All right. Senator Charles Werner joins us during the week when they're in session in Austin. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you, Scott.
All right,
nice day.
Bye. All right, thanks. It's 8:21. Let's turn our attention to the city of Bryan now and talk about things going on at the end.